It's Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. And on the show today, we're going to be talking with Milton Scott, who is the director of Opus 24, a program of the Decatur Choral Society, and they're giving their fall concert a week from yesterday, Tuesday, November 30th, 7:30 p.m. at St. Patrick Catholic Church on East El Dorado Street in Decatur. In the second portion of the show, I'll be talking with Mike Miller, who is a banjo player with the Traditional Jazz Orchestra. They are going to be joining the Boneyard Jazz Quintet, pianist Donnie Heitler, and vocalist Darden Purcell for a benefit program Friday evening for the Eastern Illinois Food Bank at the Iron Post in Urbana. And we'll hear more about that coming up on Live and Local. A favorite choral piece of mine. There is Sweet Music by Edward Elgar. It's from a set of part songs. And we heard the Cambridge Singers, directed by John Rutter, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And you can go hear the Decatur Choral Society's presentation of Opus 24, their fall concert, a week from yesterday, November 30th, in Decatur at the St. Patrick Catholic Church. Their director, Milton Scott, is with me on the show. And this is a return appearance, I think maybe, what, third time at least on the show,
three,
I think?
Three or four,
yeah. Yes. Well, it's nice to have you back.
Thank you.
And I always enjoy listening to the recordings that you bring. I'm really going to have to drive over to Decatur one of these days and hear the concert. You've been kind enough to drive over to
That's right.
Urbana
yeah,
to do the show.
I would love to have you come.
Yeah. Well, and of course, you'd love to have lots of other people. And again, from the sound of these recordings you've brought, it really seems very worthwhile. And you always sell these things out or come pretty close.
We do. The church where we're performing holds comfortably 500, but we've had as many as 600
wow.
in the church. And we're always at the mercy of weather and things like that. But we do have a very good following.
Well, we hope that the weather for a week from today, which I can't predict, unfortunately... Oh, well, actually, I do have a long-term forecast.
Well,
these things are usually not worth much. Let's see, Monday through Tuesday, and your concert's Tuesday
yes.
night, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers in the 40s for highs and lows. So,
well, you didn't mention the word blizzard, so we're good.
No, there we go. And we'll have some music that's appropriate for this weather at the moment. But what's the focus of this of the concert this time around?
Well, we actually have a sort of a mixed bag. It's not all holiday, Advent, Christmas, or other holiday music. We're doing a variety of pieces, such things like we're doing a Scottish folk song, and we're doing a setting of The Last Words of David of Randall Thompson.
I don't know that.
You don't know that piece?
No,
I don't. That's a very standard, what I should say, a big repertoire piece in festivals and things like this. It's one of his earlier pieces. We also have a little ensemble which I formed that are doing a couple of nice little chamber pieces on the lighter side.
Is that a new thing for the group?
I just did it for this concert, and I'm experimenting a little bit, trying to form an ensemble to do a variety of pieces, like a little chamber choir. And it's going very well. We're having a lot of fun with it.
Remind me, how big is the full group?
Well, the full group is 42. So the chamber group is about 16.
That's a nice size. I always thought that would be like the perfect size to work with.
It is. It all depends on the vocal balance. And this group, it's really fun. And I'll probably have a different group next semester. We just are playing with some things, maybe madrigal or vocal jazz or something like that to kind of give a little mix to the group.
So those types of music you just mentioned, madrigals, vocal jazz, those would be new for
Well, not necessarily. Madrigals aren't necessarily new, and I suppose the vocal jazz isn't either, but maybe a little different repertoire that a smaller group would do better than a larger group. There might be, it's a little more flexible. We're just kind of playing with it.
Sure. Well, why not? You've been with the group since its founding in what?
Well, it was actually founded in 1991, and our first concert was 1992 in February.
So, it's time to do some experimentation.
Yeah, it is.
You must have done some before.
We have. But we've done instrumentation or different instrumentations like wind ensemble and brass and percussion ensemble and strings and whatever with the big group. But there are some that said, hey, could we try this and have a little fun with that? And I thought, well, I think that would be a great idea. So that's what we're doing.
Well, you must have some singers who are maybe a little more especially advanced or who read especially well.
Oh, yes. Yes. We have some very good readers and some that are very experienced singers in madrigals and chamber choirs and large group as well. So it's pretty hard not to find a mix. I can find a mix and draw names out of a hat and almost make a good ensemble, but it's just a lot of fun to hear the small group.
Yeah, no, well, and for those singers, it's got to be a lot of fun to have that, to add the versatility and flexibility. I think is the term you use.
Right, but I love the big group. So,
well, and we have the big group in a sort of a seasonal piece, although it wasn't intended that way.
Right, actually, the text from this piece is from Twelfth Night of Shakespeare. So for today, I was listening to it over here in the wind and the rain. It was perfect. So
that's the name of the piece. That's what's going on outside. And it's by Jan Bach. Aaron Copley.
He is on the staff at Millikan and sang in his college choir. And he is our soloist on this piece.
All right. It's Opus 24 from just this past May at the spring concert. This was given at First United Methodist Church in Decatur, and Milton Scott is their director. You're listening to Live and Local.
I'm
Wind in the Rain, from a text from Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, music by Jan Bach, and soloist Aaron Copley. You heard Opus 24 from their spring concert just this past May, conducted by Milton Scott, who is their founding director. And he's with us on Live and Local today to talk about the group and also about their coming fall concert, which is next Tuesday at 7:30 in the evening at St. Patrick Catholic Church. That sounded like a fun piece, and also like a good exercise in getting singers to enunciate clearly.
Yes, it's totally dependent on the tempo, the articulations, and it is fun to sing. It is fun.
Did you find yourself sort of pushing the tempo to see how fast it could go and still be
that.
Understood?
I've pushed the tempo, and I've also taken it at a very slow tempo. And it's a whole different experience. I mean, you take that at a very fast tempo, you just sacrifice certain things, consonants, few of the ending consonants.
Yeah.
But I think that tempo was fairly comfortable for the singers.
Well, I mean, they certainly executed it really well.
Yeah, thank you. I will make one correction. I'm actually not the founding director.
Oh, you're not?
No, the founding director left after about a month and a half to accept a different job and in Chicago. So I, as one of the founding two basses, moved up and.
But it says on your website, Mr. Scott has conducted Opus 24 since its founding.
Well, I know, and I probably need to change that.
For a month and a half, I don't think you need to change
well,
that.
Well, I don't know. I, the former director is a good friend of mine, and I always like to give a little, to give credit where credit is due. But
well,
I have
enough.
Been with it, yes.
Fair
I
can,
let's say I conducted the first concert.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you are. Yeah.
That's fair enough. Well, you know, we had yesterday, I talked with Deanne Bryant, who conducts the Bloomington Normal Youth Symphony that gave its concert last night. And she always gives due credit to its first director. He was there all of 5 years, but she's been there 18. So,
yes.
You know.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, anyway. the group bears your stamp, that's for sure.
I guess so, yes.
Obviously, after all this time. You know, the Millikan University choral ensembles have a really strong reputation. Do you get some of the singers from Millikan, or is it mostly adults in the community?
Actually, most of them are from the adults around the community. We have some from Champaign and Urbana, Bloomington Normal. But we do have, and I'm very blessed with some singers that are just recent. And when I say recent, 3 or 4 years out of the Millikan program, have chosen to go ahead and sing with the Opus to keep singing, which is great. It's we have one that drives, as I said, from Urbana, so it's a nice tribute to the quality. That it's not the Millikan ensembles, obviously, they're just superb, but it's nice they want to continue singing beyond their college, and we think it's a good outlet for them.
Well, and it sounds like a real tribute too, that given all the choral singing that goes on at the university, that you get these such great crowds. What kind of crowds do they get at the university?
Well, they do very, very well. In fact, this within the next couple of weeks, that first weekend in December is the Millikan Vespers, and they will sell out. They have sold out Kirkland for 4 performances. So, you know, they are talking 6,000-8,000 people at the Vespers programs, and their concerts are very well attended as well. And they have lots of ensembles to choose from, so they have lots of concerts to go to.
Well, I think we're going to be talking with Brad Holmes maybe even next Tuesday about the Vespers, so we'll hear a little bit more about that.
Right.
But we're talking about Opus 24 today,
okay, well,
of course.
Okay, well, let's do that.
Let's continue.
Sure.
And we have another couple of samples from the spring concert. Why don't we do, this was always a favorite of mine. I'm trying to remember when I first heard it, maybe even in grade school, Black is the Color of My True Love's Hair.
There was an edition, I think, by Shawnee or something. I even did it in high school as well. One of those long-standing editions. And then Renee Clausen came and set this one with clarinet, a cappella with clarinet. And it's a challenging piece, but I think it turned out really quite well.
And Rick Strine is your clarinetist?
Right, and he is actually a member of the group. He's a very versatile young man and plays piano and sings, and also is my bell choir director at church, so
oh, wow.
He does lots of stuff. So
apparently. And another soloist, Darwin Brewster? Is right. Darwin a male or a female?
I guess he is a male. Very good tenor. It's a very short solo, but he does a nice job with it.
So we'll have to listen up. It's Rene Clausen's arrangement of the... It's an American traditional tune, isn't it?
Yes. Actually, I think it's an Appalachian piece.
Yeah. Black is the color of my true love's hair. Milt Scott leading Opus 24. Well, it's a shame to come out of that, but we wanted to get one more song in from that last concert. And also, we do have other guests. Another guest coming in on the show today. It's Live and Local. And you just heard a portion of Rene Clausen's setting of Black is the Color of My True Love's Hair with Opus 24 from their spring concert, Milton Scott directing. And that concert, Milt, you had a brass ensemble going on. Do you have instruments involved in this program?
We do. Actually, we have a brass quintet plus one extra trombone for our last piece, and some percussion. The last piece is called The Dream Isaiah Saw. It's a very, very powerful piece with a text by Tom Troger. And that'll be with piano, brass, percussion, the pipe organ.
Oh, really?
At St. Pat, and choir. It's a very emotional piece, great piece.
Who wrote that?
The name has just escaped me, but Tom Troger wrote the text, and he wrote it right before 9/11 happened, and it fits the occasion of, it just was a kind of a prelude to what happened almost.
As if he has had a premonition or something.
Exactly, yes.
Although you almost hate to think about that.
I know, but it's an amazing piece.
And that'll close out the concert?
That will close out the concert.
So you said there will be some holiday music on?
There is. There will be some, yes. There's The Gift, Bob Chilcott, Rosa Mystica. We're doing a setting of Ave Verum. There are several Christmas pieces, Advent pieces along the way. I Saw Three Ships, Ed Fissinger's arrangement. So, but we're kind of scattering things in and about the concert. So
So for those who are I want to use the term squeamish, but that's completely wrong, about getting Christmas music so early.
They will find it's sort of like the Whitman sampler of music. You know, there's just enough there to tease them. And then the next week is Vespers. And then, you know, I mean, they've had this exposure to Christmas things ever since the October decorations in the stores. And
well,
the
music, Halloween.
Yes. So this is not new to them. But there'll be just enough, I think, that'll kind of get them in the mood and some other great music as well.
Well, an Advent is Sunday, anyway.
Maybe it
starts
Sunday. Right.
So, fair enough. Yep. Fair enough. Well, Milt, it's a pleasure to have you on the show again.
Thank you. It's always nice to be here.
And we'll look for you in the spring. That'll be your next concert.
It will be.
Yep. And so it's Opus 24, Fall Choral Concert, put on by the Decatur Choral Society. It's next Tuesday evening at 7:30 at St. Patrick Catholic Church, East El Dorado Street. You say El Dorado in Decatur?
We say El Dorado.
That's what I was afraid of. But in Decatur, for more information, go to decaturopus.com, or you can call Paula Finn at 217-876-7002. And we're going to go out with Ben Alloway's setting of Sun's Horizon. It's, again, from last spring with Opus 24, directed by Milton Scott. Stay tuned for Mike Miller representing the Traditional Jazz Orchestra and other jazz groups that are going to converge in the Iron Post Friday evening for a benefit for Eastern Illinois Food Bank. It's live and local. Great sound, and it sounds like a nice acoustic to First United Methodist Church in Decatur. Opus 24, singing under the direction of Milton Scott, Sun's Horizon, by Ben Alloway. And you can go hear him next Tuesday night at St. Patrick Catholic Church in Decatur. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program is made possible by Eastern Rug Gallery, offering over 1,000 contemporary and traditional guaranteed hand-knotted rugs made of pure wool or silk pile, from contemporary to traditional. Eastern Rug Gallery also offers a cleaning and repair service. Eastern Rug Gallery, 1402 South Neal Street in Champaign. Stay tuned next. We'll be talking with Mike Miller, who's banjo player locally with the Traditional Jazz Orchestra, and they're going to be playing with the Boneyard Jazz Quintet and a couple of soloists, sort of, Friday night at the Iron Post. It's a benefit for the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. And that was some music that comes under the category of traditional jazz, brought in by Mike Miller, who's my next guest on Live and Local. He's a banjo player in the area, and he plays with the Traditional Jazz Orchestra, which is going to be playing at the Iron Post this Friday evening at 5 o'clock, starting at 5, running until
9.
9 o'clock. And it's a benefit program for the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. And also on that program, the Boneyard Jazz Quintet, jazz pianist Donnie Heitler, and jazz vocalist Darden Purcell, all going to be on that program. So who do we just hear?
We just heard the Memphis Nighthawks.
And who
they
were they?
They were the first traditional jazz band that I was aware of back here in the mid and late 70s.
So
they're
here,
all
meaning
in school of music people that got together and started to play the old stuff.
The old stuff. And was John Garvey at the U of I at that point?
Yes.
So was that his
idea? We're all Garvey
idea?
Veterans in that band.
Really? In
yeah.
Did you play in that band at
yeah.
the time?
Mm-hmm. That was how I learned to play banjo, because I'd played guitar before that.
So you learned while you were in school?
Or through well, the banjo? I had just graduated with my BS in music ed.
And picked up the banjo?
Well, they needed a banjo player. I had an old $10 Sears banjo in the closet, so I got it out, put strings on it, and figured out how to play the chords.
How closely does banjo relate to the guitar?
Not terribly. The banjo I play is a tenor banjo, and it's tuned in fifths, just like a viola.
Mm.
And the guitar is basically tuned in fourths. So it kind of gets in the way if you're not used to it, because like what's an F on one is a different note on the other one.
And is the how do you play it? I know there's different styles of playing the banjo. Are you a clawhammer player? Mm. Are you a what other?
No, that
kind of player.
Those terms apply more to like the bluegrass country five string banjo.
Mm-hmm.
This is a four string banjo. And think of it as strumming with the banjo on my knee.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you strum it. I'm the rhythm section.
Okay. More rhythm than melodic.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And were you the same kind of guitarist?
Mostly, yeah. They called me Freddie, after Freddie Green from the Basie band.
And who was the rhythm guitarist for
yeah.
them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. That's my job, is the rhythm and the feel.
And does the traditional jazz orchestra have a drummer in it?
No, that's my job.
That's your job. So you don't want to compete with anybody that way.
No, that way there's fewer people to argue with.
and I guess,
you know, if it doesn't feel good, it's my fault. You know.
Well, so you have that burden then. In other words,
yeah. I don't get many breaks.
Meaning you're the one guy that plays the whole time.
Pretty much.
So what I asked this question of Jeff Helgeson, who was here, I think, a couple weeks ago, when before the traditional jazz orchestra's monthly gig mm-hmm. at the Iron Post, and asked him essentially what is traditional jazz. So what's your answer to that?
It's the true American art form that started in the late 1800s, early 1900s, generally in New Orleans and around there.
And how does that differ from, say, Dixieland?
To me, Dixieland is sort of a caricature of traditional jazz.
Uh-oh.
A stereotype.
Uh-oh.
You know, straw hats and armbands and kazoos and goofy stuff.
Sounds like fighting words for some people.
Yeah, I don't
really
like it when they call our music Dixieland. But
you know. Oh. Well, what we ought to do sometime is have a Dixieland group come in and the traditional jazz orchestra, and hear some of the differences.
Yeah,
you know, it would be fun.
It would be a subtle difference for most of the audience, I suspect. But
musically speaking, let's pretend that our audience is full of musicians at the moment. What would be some technical differences between the two?
Traditional jazz, you're actually playing as an art form. You know, you're trying to play jazz, make it melodic, interesting, rhythmic. Dixieland, you're more trying to entertain the audience.
Hmm.
You know, one is more of a show rather than an art.
if you're playing banjo in one group or playing banjo in another, would you play differently?
I would try not to, but if I had to, in the Dixieland thing, you would do a lot more of flailing around and, you know, up and down the neck, and rather than just playing straight ahead and laying it down.
Just laying out a solid rhythm.
Yeah.
And, say, a clarinetist.
What might they
do differently?
They would probably try to show off how many notes they could play, you know.
In the Dixieland.
Right, yeah, rather than trying to make it musical.
Who are the groups, who are the folks in the traditional jazz orchestra?
Morgan Powell plays the trombone. Randy Salmon plays the reeds, usually clarinet. excuse me. The original trumpet player is Tom Berkner, who's down in the St. Louis area, but he can't make it all the time, so Jeff Helgeson plays a fair amount with us on trumpet or so, cornet.
And he'll be playing on Friday.
I believe Jeff's on the gig Friday evening.
Okay.
And the bass player is Dan Anderson from Chicagoland.
Does he play bass, or tuba?
Both.
Or both. Okay.
He'll bring his tuba and his string bass, and I'll bring a guitar and a banjo. So sometimes we have guitar and bass, and sometimes we have banjo and tuba.
And on the on this gig on Friday is also another of Morgan Powell's groups, yeah, the Boneyard Jazz Quintet.
Right. They're starting off at 5. They're a really fun group. I try to catch them every time they play there.
And they're so obviously Morgan as trombonist overlaps. Will Jeff Helgeson be playing in both groups also?
He may sit in with the Boneyard group. They say it's a quintet, but often there's more than 5 guys playing at a time. If somebody comes into the club with their horn, you know, Morgan will get them to come up there and join in.
Anybody else that regularly overlaps, or might you all just
well,
be sitting
Randy
in with
Morgan
each other?
Well, Randy and Morgan are in both the first 2 bands.
Randy Salmon.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you might have a merging of the bands at some point on Friday, or don't you know?
It's not planned.
It doesn't mean it won't happen.
No,
right?
I don't know what would happen at the end. You know?
Well, folks can find out.
Yeah, it's we did this once before last January with exactly the same setup with the Boneyard Quintet, then the traditional jazz orchestra, and then Darden and Donnie at the end. And
so, what happened then?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was a terrible snowy night, but the turnout was nice. The music was great, and everybody felt really good, and it's for a good cause.
Yeah, well, it sounds terrific. You brought along a recording of a predecessor of the traditional jazz orchestra. Who are these folks?
All right. Back in the 90s, Professor Larry Gushy had a band that played old-time music called the New Golden Rule Orchestra. And I was in that. Morgan was in that. Tom Berkner, the fellow in St. Louis, was in that. Dan Anderson, the tuba player, was in it. So we
played just about all the same.
Yeah, pretty much.
Except for Randy Salmon, I guess.
Right, because Larry Gushy played the reeds then, and now Randy's doing it.
And what did that name come from, the New Golden Rule?
You would have to ask Gushy. There was some Golden Rule Orchestra way back when, and so he got it put new on the front of it. But I don't really know that story.
Well, we'll have to get him in. He's still around.
Yeah, right? He's still in town.
We'll have to get him in here sometime and chat about that. What's the tune we're going to hear?
Weary Blues. It's the third track on there.
I think we've got it on Live and Local. Thank you. the new Golden Rule Orchestra from back in the early mid-90s.
Yes.
Here on Live and Local. And you told me while we were listening to that you played this at the Great Hall at the Krannert Center.
Right.
Not the usual place for traditional jazz.
No.
At least about traditional local jazz.
No. I mean, fortunately, it got recorded, and then it was literally about 10 years later, somebody gave the recording to Morgan, the trombone player.
Yeah, Morgan Powell.
So it was like, oh, we didn't even know this had been put down for posterity.
Was somebody just sort of bootlegging a cassette recording
that? No, I think the regular sound guy at the Great Hall.
Oh, well, John Chainoff would have been.
I don't know
probably.
Who it was.
Yeah. Well, it could have been Rex Anderson, different people recording there. But it's great that they were able to do that. How often do you think you played gigs and you didn't know somebody was recording, and then they show up maybe on Shelley Masser's program on WFT?
That's more common than you would think.
But there must be plenty of times where you planned to record it, I suppose, or maybe not.
Not really.
So how do you like going back to hear some of these things that you didn't know somebody recorded, and if it was maybe an off night?
Well, if it's an off night, then I don't tell you about it. I cherry-picked ones that were decent.
Well, then if you find out about those, do you try to go get hold of the recording and
No. I'll listen to it and actually use it as a learning tool for what was not quite right. You know, what could I have done differently?
So what kind of things have you learned from things like that? You know, if you heard one that was off, what would you identify maybe that you didn't do so
maybe
well?
I was playing in the wrong register. I was interfering with the soloists.
Meaning you might be a little too high?
Yeah. Or maybe my time was off. You know, maybe I slowed it down or something, or sped it up. And so that's something I really try to work hard on. And I think as I get older, I'm getting a lot better at that.
Do you do a lot of listening that way?
Yeah. I've listened to lots of stuff, and I use it, like I said, as a learning tool. It's my practice, you know, to critique myself.
Sure. And I imagine you listen to lots of other bands to hear how their banjo players do it and what makes them sound good or not.
Well, not a whole lot. The banjo player I mostly like to listen to was the guy that played with Louis Armstrong and Jelly Roll Morton and King Oliver, and his name was Johnny St. Cyr.
Hmm.
And he played a six-string banjo.
How common is that?
Not common. He started out as a guitar player, took a guitar neck and married it onto a banjo pot, and that's what he played. So that's not what I play, so I can't exactly play the same chords and things that he does, but I try to play in that kind of a role that he had.
But he still, even with six strings, he still kept the time.
Oh, yeah, yes. That was his job. And he would get a solo every now and then.
Well, I was going to say, if you got those extra notes available, you want to use more of them, I would think.
Yeah. So if I try to play his solo, it's really difficult because I'm not tuned the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other banjo players that you've been
fond
of?
No, that's really the only one I really like to listen to.
Wow. Should we even ask if there's anybody you really can't stand to listen to?
We shouldn't go there.
Okay. Well, it's sometimes interesting for people to sort of check these things out on their own. We're talking with Mike Miller, who's a banjo player with the Traditional Jazz Orchestra. They're going to be playing at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana Friday evening, along with the Boneyard Jazz Quintet, who will start things off at 5 o'clock. And also a jazz pianist, Donnie Heitler, and vocalist Darden Purcell are going to be getting together on that show as well. It's a benefit for the Eastern Illinois Food Bank, and it's going to go from 5 to 9, so you can drop in any time and hear them. You have a recording of the successor to the new Golden Rule Orchestra we just had, which is, in fact, the Traditional Jazz Orchestra.
Right.
How long ago was this one made?
The one I brought today was made in about the third time we played together about it. In August of 2009.
So this will be, you were probably still learning each other a little bit at this point.
Yeah, and we're a lot more tight now. And one good thing about this band is that we've never, ever had a rehearsal.
So your rehearsals are your gigs.
Right.
Essentially. And what's the tune we're going to hear?
Track number 4 is At the Jazz Band Ball.
Listen to the Traditional Jazz Orchestra here on Live and Local. You can go out and hear them live and locally Friday night at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana, and we'll hear them just a little bit more of them as we go out with the show today. I want to give you an events calendar for the next couple of days, things you can go out and see and hear live. Joni Dreyer and Dave Cooper are at Senator's Pub in Champaign tonight at 7:30. There's the weekly traditional live Irish music session at Bentley's Pub in downtown Champaign. That's at 7 o'clock. The Diva and the Dude, who are Kathy Harden and Andy Baylor, are at Clark Bar in Champaign. That's at 7 o'clock tonight. Sister Groove and the Crosstown Jam play blues at Snappers in Clinton tonight at 9 o'clock. It's We Need a Little More Christmas at Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield. That's running for a good while yet, starting at 6 o'clock Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday for brunch. It's Jazz in the Courtyard at the Illini Union, although I really wonder, is that going on this week? But it says here on the calendar, that's on the U of I campus tomorrow at noon. The U2 Duo is at Clark Bar in Champaign tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And looking ahead to Friday, Kilbourne Alley is at the Iron Post in Urbana at 9 o'clock. And, well, it looks like Darden Purcell and Don Heitler are going to be doing 2 gigs. They're also going to be at Silver Creek in Urbana at 5:30. They must be running down the street to the Iron Post for the later portion of the show. And Katie Flynn and Dan Pearson are at V. Picasso's Tapas Bar and Lounge in downtown Urbana Friday night at 6:30. And I think that covers what we've got on hand here. Our show today is made possible with support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector, the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from noon to 4 in the Bouvon's Tasting Room. More information is at corkscrew.com. And you're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYNL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'm Kevin Kelly for Live and Local. I'll be off the next couple of days, and so you'll be hearing classical music during this time slot, and I'll be back on Monday with a conversation with conductor Michael Cherry for the hour. And we've been pleased to have Mike Miller with us for this portion of the show. And Mike, you got one more cut from the Traditional Jazz Orchestra.
Right. This is Somebody's Taken My Place. It's an old tune, and we just winged it.
Yeah. Well, I do want to ask just a real quick answer to this. So if you have never rehearsed, how do you know what to do?
You use your experience and your taste. I mean, none of us are new at this. You know, we've been playing for years, decades. And it helps.
So if somebody says, we're going to do this tune, you just know what the chords
are. Well, you
are
might get a cheat sheet and get the chord changes in the melody, but that's about it.
And then you go from there?
Yep.
Well, here's a sample. Traditional Jazz Orchestra. Go hear them Friday night at the Iron Post. Thanks, Mike, for joining us on the show.
You're welcome.